This presentation is brought to you by iAwaken.org, a not-for-profit organization. We hope you enjoy the presentation. Please observe the copyright terms to which you have agreed.
We're on paragraph Kaf Gimel. Omar Achover. You remember last week the Kuzari landed up noting that some of the Karoim, these Karaites and so on, seem to have a better grasp of the simple meaning of the Psukim than we do have in Torah. And how do we handle their various arguments? Says the Chover, Haloi Higdamti Lecho B'Dvorai, I've already established with you in the introduction to my words, Ki ha-hischakmus v'hasvoro batoiro, that being clever and original and creative in logic in Toiro, einenu mevi'el rutzoin ho'elikim, that does not bring to the will of the Ribbono Shel Olam. To use one's own ideas and one's own philosophies, that doesn't bring to the rutzoin Hashem. V'imloi, for were that not so, then hameshanim, then the reformers, the Anshei HaKadmus and the early philosophers, Uvalei HaRuchnius, and all sorts of spiritualists, V'hanigzorim Behorim, and people who hide in the mountains, V'sofei B'neihim Bo'esh, and people who sacrifice their children in fire, Mishtadlim Yiskadev El HaElokim, they're doing well, they're using their own philosophy to come close to the Ribbono Shel Olam, and that's what they believe does it. Uchvar Amanu She'en Niskarvim El HaElokim, and we've already said that does not bring one any closer to the Ribbono Shel Olam, Ki im b'mitzvah yiso elokim atzmon. The only thing that brings closer to the Ribbono Shel Olam is the fulfillment of the mitzvahs of the Ribbono Shel Olam, his instructions. That's what brings one closer. Ba'avu shehu yodea shi'urom u'mishkolom u'zmanom u'mekonoisom. For he knows their measurements, their weight, their correct time, their correct place. U'mashu toli be'ele akabolus, and everything which is dependent on these mitzvahs. Asher b'hashlamosom yiyeh harotzoin v'hadveiko b'inyon ha'eluki, through the fulfillment of which there is the will of the Ribbono Shel Olam and the cleaving to the concept of the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's all there is to it. We need to know exactly what the Ribbono Shel Olam wants. He understands, he knows, he has determined exactly what elements, what actions, what deeds bring us closer to him, and he defines them, and we have to fulfill those defined mitzvahs, not be creative in our own mitzvahs. K'mo sh'oyo b'maisa ha-mishkan, he uses the maisa ha-mishkan as an example of typical mitzvahs. Asher amar b'chol melocha mimeno, as it says in each of the melochas of the mishkan, v'yas b'tzalel es ha-orin, and that's b'tzalel made the orin, v'yas kapores, v'yas yirius, v'chol achas mem, and in each case it says, k'asher tzivo Hashem es Moshe. He made it exactly as the Ribbono Shel Olam instructed Moshe. He didn't use any original architecture. He did it exactly as he was instructed by Moshe, to be instructed by Hashem. But Tzelema, that means, below to surface, umagras, with nothing extra and with nothing left, with nothing less. So the Maaseh Mishkan is the fulfillment of a mitzvah par excellence, exactly how a mitzvah is meant to be fulfilled. V'ein bedovor me'hamelochos ha'hem, and there is nothing in those works of the Mishkan, that we would have worked out ourselves had we used our own svara. Not one thing would we have made in that particular way. And it ends off by saying, Vayar Moshe es kol ha-melocho, and Moshe saw all the work that had been done. They had indeed done it as Hashem had instructed, so they did it. Again emphasizing, all Moshe wanted to check was that it was authentic, that it was absolutely accurate. Vayavorech Eso Moshe, and Moshe blessed them. V'hoyosomuch la'ashlomosu chul ha'shchino. And it was as a consequence of the completion of the Mishkan that the Shechino dwelt on the Mishkan. Mipnei she'nesh nishlomu b'shnei ha'inyonim asher heim amudei ha'toyroh. Because the two conditions that are the principles of Torah were both fulfilled. Ho'echod, the one is, Shetiye ha-Toyro me'eis ha-Elokim, that you're dealing with Torah which is authentic from the Ribbono Shel Olam himself. Vasheni, and the second, Shetiyeh Mekubeles Belev Ne'eman Me'akohol, that it is accepted with a willing heart on the part of the Kohol. So we've got, here you've got the Dukhra and the Nukveh. The Ribbono Shel Olam gives the authentic, he gives the Torah, the essence, but we have to be Mekabel it actively, we have to be active in our reception of it, with a Lev Ne'eman. Va'amishkan hoyo mimitzvah yisraelikim, and the Mishkan was a mitzvah of the Ribbono Shel Olam. The Ribbono Shel Olam gave the detailed plan, and the expression of the plan, the bringing of that into fulfillment, into reality, that was done by the Kahal, male, female. As it says, from every man whose heart motivated him, with the extreme of desire and motivation. And there had to be the consequence. Once you've got those two elements, the authentic Torah and the willingness and devotion and dedication of the people, then there has to be the consequence. That's the presence of the Shekhinah. Then the Shekhinah has to come. Those are the Amudim of Torah. Now that's a very important yesod, that the Mishkan forms the function, apart from anything else, of being the model of the perfect mitzvah, where you see that there's nothing that we could have worked out ourselves, and yet that's where the Shekhinah comes, out of doing what? Out of fulfilling or bringing into fruition the detailed plan of the Ribbono Shel Olam. That brings the Shekhinah. And that, says the Kuzari, is the fundamental principle that governs every one of the mitzvahs, that the Ribbono Shel Olam gives the plan, and we have to put it into practice, we have to make it work, we fulfill it. The Ribbono Shel Olam designs it, and we build it, and construct it, and make it work. And the combination of those two, provided what we have built is a perfect replica of the plan, and we've done it with a full heart and with absolute dedication, then the Shekhinah is Shoyro. Then the Shekhinah comes. Then one is able to establish closeness to the Ribbono Shel Olam.
So what's the area of creativity?
The way you relate to it. The tachlis hachifetz va'arotzin. Each person's rotzin, the way he does it, what kind of heart he does it with, what kind of intention he does it with. Of course, in halacha there are other areas too, in your understanding of the halacha, in your analysis of the halacha. It's not always as clear as it was to them there, where they were given detailed plans and that was it. We've got to go through shas and we've got to go through poskim to work out what the plan is. So there's also this place for creativity. But the creativity has to be subjected to authenticity. You've got to be sure that what you're being creative in is a faithful interpretation of what the Ribbono Shel Olam is instructed. You've got to be sure that you're playing Beethoven and that you're not playing your own ideas. That's what it is, and that's what one has to develop in learning. And that's why the learning of Kodshim is so central. And the Briskers emphasized it, the Chofetz Chaim emphasized it in his time, because in Kodshim that's what you're doing. And that's why now that we don't have a Mishkan, we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, the Gemara says, Chazal say, anybody who learns the halachas of the Beis HaMikdash, it's as if he's doing it himself. That's the closest you can come to it, because there is that element there too. In Kodshim, there's no Svorah. You can't use your own logic. You can use your logic in a mathematical sense to get from point A to point B, but not a philosophic logic. There's no place for philosophy. The whole thing has to be constructed on formulas and on axioms and on principles and on psukim and limudim. That's where it is, and your whole intellect becomes absorbed in working out accurately what the Ribbono Shel Olam wants. There is no place for anything else. Nezikin, the Gemara that we're doing, is the opposite. There are very few psukim. The whole thing is based on very few psukim, and everything is constructed out of our own logic. And those are two different types of limudim. One needs them both, but one needs to be aware of the kodshim limudim. That's why a child starts with kodshim. The first thing you've got to teach him is to learn the fundamentals and to become attached to the authenticity before he develops the originality. And that's why we have to be so careful not to distort the Torah in our effort to attract people to Torah. To attract people to Torah is very good and very important, but not chas v'sholem to attract them to something which is not authentic, which is not absolutely authentic. Not to do something because that will attract them. To attract them to emes Torah. And if they're not attracted to emes Torah, so they're not attractive. What can you do? You can't change the Torah to make them attractive. That you can't do. Uchvar dimisi lecho b'yetziras ha-tzemach v'achayim. And I've given you the example already of the creation of plants and life. V'yomarti ki hatsuro asher bo yihye etzem tzemach mibilti tzemach v'chay mibilti chay. The very form that determines that a particular plant should be it and not another plant, or a particular animal should be that and not another animal, eineno min hativim. That's not really just nature that makes. You can take two cells of two different plants, and if you analyze them, they're the same. Ach me'esa elokim yizborach. It comes from the ribbono shel olam that the one develops into one type of plant and the one into another. The one develops into one animal and the one into the other. Koyrim oisu achochomim teva. The Chachomim say it's natural. Ve'emesu ki ativi mizdanim lekibul ha'maisa ahu kefi erka me'achoim va'akor va'alachos va'yovish. And it is true that nature makes itself available to receive the instructions from the Ribbono shel Olam according to the climatic conditions in which it is, the heat and the cold, the moisture and the dryness. And as a result of the combination of the natural environment and the Ribbono shel Olam's direction, which today we know he does through the genetic system, but still it's a direction from the Ribbono shel Olam. When we come onto genes and onto smaller things, there's smaller things than genes today already, aren't there? What are they on? They're onto now. The gene itself, they're dividing up, aren't they? Alleles. And the gene you can't see already. Can you see a gene?
Yes.
With an electron microscope.
Yes.
And an allele?
They visualize, they know which.
But can you see it? Can you look at it and see that's an allele, and that's another allele, and that's another?
Yeah,
can you actually see them?
Counting like pages in the book, and I'll find the right one. In fact, not only do they find them, but they snip out a little piece of it and replace it with another one. They can get that gene to do it, the work of another gene.
They're actually physically removing it and taking it. As we go down closer and closer to that, the concepts which are being worked with are finer and finer. To the point, as the Derech Hashem explains, you're dealing with the finest part of the body bordering on the coarsest part of the soul. And the coarsest part of the soul and the finest part of the body are really are a hair's breadth away from one another, and are in fact attached to one another. So as the scientists are getting finer and finer into smaller and smaller and smaller units, to the point where there's virtually nothing that they're dealing with, it's almost postulations and concepts, that's the point where one's getting to the direction of the Ribbono Shel Olam, and the genes are coming close to the point that the nefesh is connected to the guf, that the soul is connected to the body, and that's the point where the Ribbono Shel Olam directs what each thing becomes. V'yiyeze tamav ze gefen, and this turns out to be a palm tree, and this one a vine, v'ze sus v'ze ari, and this one a lion, and this one a horse. V'ha'arochim ohem ein anu yucholim l'shayir oisom, and we cannot evaluate those values. V'ilu ha'yinu yucholim l'shayir oisom, and if we truly could do so, ha'yinu yucholim l'ases dam v'chelev derech moshul, we could create artificial blood and chelev, v'shichva zera, and artificial sperm. Milachius shenishayim mizgeim, we can do it from moisture. That if we can work out exactly what the elements are and what the contents are, we should be able to create artificial reproductive cells. It doesn't create any substance which doesn't exist in the bria. It doesn't contain any substance which doesn't exist in the bria. So if it's purely physical, then surely we could create a model of that substance by combining these various substances in exactly the way that they are, as we're doing with many proteins already, aren't we? We're creating proteins. So we should be able to create reproductive cells from putting together all sorts of proteins and things. To the point where we can create life. That should be possible. Or we should be able to create artificial bread, which is not made from food. We should be able to construct the minerals and combine minerals in such a way that it makes artificial bread. If we are able to get the recipe right of how much heat and how much moisture, how much cold and how much dryness, and exactly what and what, we should be able to put it all together. Add to that a knowledge of astrology, which help these astrologers and everything that they want to show in this world. And we've already seen how the alchemists and the spiritualists have become ashamed in their efforts to do this and have been unsuccessful. Basis hadvarim ibosur habokur, and trying to make bees out of cattle flesh, vayetushim in ayayin. In their ability to make, they actually had made. And mosquitoes from wine, that is not from their figuring out the true ingredients of these things. This is merely from trial and error. They have discovered a formula. Just as one discovered, as a man discovered, that sexual relationships lead to the conception of, I've created life, look what I found. Imagine if the first person who discovered that, I've created life. You haven't created life. The Ribbono Shel Olam created a formula in the world, and you found the formula, that's all. And you've plugged into it. All man does is puts the seed into the ground, which has been made ready to receive that seed, and to be successful in the planting of that seed. But to actually create life from nothing, that's from the Ribbono Shel Olam. So the Khuzuri says there is the possibility that we will discover certain formulas that will enable us to conceive in a test tube and to do all sorts of things like that. That can be. But to actually create life from no living source, totally artificially, that we won't be able to do ever. And so also a living nation that is fit for the Ribbono Shel Olam's spiritual presence in it, a nation with a specific neshama, only the Ribbono Shel Olam understands that. We can't create a Yiddish neshama, and we can't really analyze it and understand what it's made of. And therefore we have to accept these principles and values from Hashem. And a person should not try and become too clever with Ribbono Shel Olam's word. When it comes to Hashem's will, you can't use your wisdom and your tvuna and your etzo. That's what the will of the Ribbono Shel Olam is, and we cannot override it, no matter how logical our overriding appears to be. We can interpret Hashem's will and we can apply Hashem's will. We can analyze Hashem's will in the way to apply it, but we cannot overrule or change it. And how do you see the way of becoming similar to our others, to follow them in a way where we don't become wiser than the Torah, where we're assured of authenticity? Omar HaKuzuri, says the Kuzuri, the only way that can be achieved, if the authenticity is the critical thing and that's what has to be preserved, the only way that can be done, Elo b'ha'atokos divreim usamach ma'aseihim, that can only be done by copying over their words, by transmitting their words and relying on their deeds. Im yimotze mishi yamin b'zeh mirabim acharei rabim, provided there are people who are able to believe in this, many people believing in many people. Shelo yavur al tamusu ma'askomo mikabolos ha'toyra v'todosel v'firushel mimoshe, that there won't be anybody who disagrees with the receiving of the Torah and its consequences and its perushim from Moshe, beruro bilavovis obisforim, clear in the minds of people and in the sforim. And then the Kuzri goes on to discussing what happens when there are deviations in the Masoris. When you get different girsas, when you get different viewpoints, how do we solve them? If Masoris now becomes the critical thing, which is what he comes to, that you can now no longer rely on originality and on creativity, so what do we have to rely on? Authenticity. What is the transmission of authenticity? It's Masoris. So what do you do when two people have two different Masoris that conflict with one another? How do we resolve that conflict? That's the next part that he comes to.